Hello and welcome into the Locked On Wolves podcast. We are live on the postcast following the Timberwolves win over the Houston Rockets. Marnie Gellner, Bally Sports North, joins the show to break down the game. The Locked On Wolves postcast starts right now.
You are Locked On Wolves postcast, part of Locked On Sports Minnesota. Your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Marty Gellner is with us to break down the Timberwolves win over the Rockets. And Anthony Edwards dropped 44 points tonight, in case you hadn't heard. And Marty, I think we have to start there. Ant was downright incredible in this game.
Oh, he was fantastic. Yeah, he was electric. And that the way that he plays, with the smile and the egging the crowd on and the big dunks. And it just, it's almost like it's worth more than the points just because it just spreads so much energy into the team and positivity into the crowd. And the fans were waiting for something, anything, a spark, a run, because the Wolves would get a couple baskets and then the Rockets were hanging right in. It was so disappointing because, you know, it's a terrible team and you're like, oh, this is just trudging through mud here. And then Ant slammed one in the second quarter shortly before halftime, and there was just a buzz around. And then he had those two massive slams in the second half and a spectacular miss, and even that had people up and holding their heads. And he was fantastic tonight.
Yeah, it was a legitimate, like, all-around dominant performance from Ant. He scored at all three levels in this game. He had those two poster dunks. He had eight threes in this game. And for the most part, the shot selection was pretty good on threes until some late heat checks, which some of which he made. I mean, he really, it was every level. And defensively, yeah, he was good, too. I mean, the team as a whole was sluggish early in the game. And I think that included Ant very early in the game. But it kind of clicked in as the first half wore on. He had 19 points at halftime, Edwards did. He had the two poster dunks, the eight threes. Defensively, he had three steals. He had three blocks. He was active. He was locked in. You could tell that he, you know, and we've seen this before with Ant, the energy, the egg in the crowd, and like you said, but then also the offense feeds into his defense. And if he's playing really well offensively and he's feeling out an offense, he's getting the poster dunks. He's, you know, he had the one that he missed that also would have been a poster dunk. And I think that kind of, like, he was like, okay, now I got to get another one. And sure enough, he did. He got an even more spectacular one. And it's just, it's so interesting how it feeds into, you know, his own greatness feeds into his own greatness. And he plays better and better on both ends of the floor when he starts to see, like, okay, I'm having a big night. I could make this even bigger. And this is, I mean, we'll get more into this here in a second, but this is a night the Wolves needed that from Ant against a bad team, kind of a, you know, could have been more of a dead building against a bad team and off to a slow start and some bad turnovers and some poor shooting. But Ant brought the energy and he brought it on both ends of the floor.
He was very good. And Chris Finch praised his just decision-making and decisiveness and how sharp he was. And Finch said that he and Ant talked before the game and just kind of laid out, like, the importance of this game, or these two games, I guess, against Houston, and Ant's importance in the games and how he could be the guy to lead them. He played 40 plus minutes, 41 if you round up. He didn't have a lot of waffling of, oh, that was a terrible shot. It was sharp and decisive, just like Finch described it. It was a very good Anthony Edwards game. They absolutely needed it too, because you and I had said just before we went on air, if he doesn't go off like this, the Wolves are in trouble in that game. He was big.
Oh, yeah. The Wolves were down two at halftime. I mean, the first quarter ended. The game was tied at the end of the first quarter, but it just kind of, like, there was no real rhythm or anything to the game. It was just a very weird, kind of disjointed. The Rockets had a ton of turnovers early. The Timberwolves weren't turning the ball over as much. They were just missing shots, and they weren't taking advantage of Houston turnovers. The transition offense was not good. The secondary break actions weren't good. It was just kind of disjointed, and it felt like a team that was playing, you know, whatever this is, six games and nine nights or whatever they're on now, during this long stretch of back-to-backs, et cetera, et cetera. And then at halftime, they were down two. And the only thing that was really keeping them in the game was they had gotten to the line 16 times by halftime. And Houston had only, I think, shot 8 free throws at halftime. And despite the fact the Wolves were shooting it so poorly from the floor, they got to the line enough to kind of still hang around. They weren't taking advantage of Houston turnovers. And it was Ant had 19 points in the first half. And that's why this was a two-point game. And then the third quarter started out a lot like we've seen a lot of third quarters start out for the Wolves. It was really sloppy again. They were down 12 with 8:15 left in the third quarter after another bad third quarter start. And then Ant went absolutely nuts. Nate Knight came to the party, and the Timberwolves had a lead 4 minutes later. I mean, they were down 12, and in the next 4 minutes, they ended up taking the lead. And from that point forward, you know, the Rockets hung around. The Wolves really struggled to actually put them away. But from that point forward, it kind of felt different because of how well Ant was playing. But you know, back to your point, like they needed this from Ant because it was kind of a sleepy first 2.5 quarters to this one for the Wolves.
Yeah. I mean, Minnesota won the game by 9. Ant had a 44-point night. The Wolves were at home, and the final margin was 9. And it wasn't because the Rockets hit a 3 at the buzzer. It really was 12, but it kind of felt like, I mean, it was a legit 9. That Houston team, which, oh man, that is not a good team. They made some turnovers just like passing the ball across the timeline. It was shocking at times. So I don't think the Wolves can feel too high about themselves. And Edwards certainly can after the game he had. But, I mean, let's take a step back and let's remember, this was a 9-point win. They couldn't shake the Rockets. And they were down by 20 in Houston a few weeks ago. So it's something that they have to take very seriously on Monday, or they might slip up and let one slip through their fingers.
Yeah. And one of the reasons why the Rockets are, you know, they shouldn't be a difficult matchup for the Wolves because they're the worst team in the league. But the reason why these matchups have been so competitive is because they generally play pretty hard, at least on the glass, and they are the best offensive rebounding team in the league. They have an offensive rebounding rate coming into this game of over 29%, which is best in the league. And the Wolves remain a bottom five defensive rebounding team. The Rockets aren't a good shooting team. In fact, we've seen the league's two worst shooting teams now in consecutive games with Toronto and Houston. And the Wolves had to hit the glass hard, and it still ended up being, what was it, a minus? Like, I had it here a minute ago.
20.
Minus 26 on the glass. They gave up 15 offensive rebounds to Houston, and that was a primary reason why the Rockets hung around. It's just a tricky matchup to have all these kind of – Houston has a bunch of long athletic players, young guys, guys that are crashing the glass hard, trying to get a bucket, and they miss a ton of shots. That doesn't mesh super well with the Wolves, especially with no Rudy Gobert and no Karl Anthony Towns. And that allowed the Rockets to hang around. And you know, they're going to have to see that again on Monday night. We mentioned Nate Knight a moment ago. Let's talk a bit more about him. I mean, this was kind of the next episode in a series of like, who's going to step up at center for the Wolves. Naz Reid was in early foul trouble again. He picked up 2 fouls very early in the game. And then Luka Garza picked up a couple of fouls very early in the game. Nate Knight came in. And then after Naz picked up his 3rd foul early in the third quarter, Chris Finch actually went completely small, put Kyle Anderson at center, brought in Torian Prince at the 4, and until Prince rolled his ankle and was ruled out for the rest of the game with the sprained ankle, they played small. Knight came back in, though, after Prince went out and never looked back. He was actually had the best plus-minus on the Wolves, was a +21, had 19 points on 8 shots, and really kind of dominated. I mean, I know the Wolves lost the rebound battle, lost points in the paint, but offensively, Knight was fantastic.
Yeah, he was so good, and he was loud. Good. That's how Nate Knight plays. I always say that about him. Like, he has such loud minutes. That man never checks out of a game where you go, oh, shoot, Nate was on the floor. I didn't even realize that. He's just in the middle of plays. He dunks hard. He rebounds hard. He's a very noticeable player. And this seemed to be the kind of game where you needed that because it was kind of a lower energy night. Outside of the Anthony Edwards dunks, which the Wolves and the crowd also needed because it was a low-energy type of night. I feel like a team like Houston just kind of brings that out wherever they go. This team has lost now 13 straight and 18 of 19. They haven't won a game since the day after Christmas. I mean, that is just that's heavy to carry that around. And I feel like it just, you can feel it, it kind of permeates in the gym. I don't know how that's possible, but it was one of those nights we needed the energy to be there more. Nate Knight brings that kind of energy. His season high tonight was 19. His career high is 20. And that came last season around Christmas time when the Wolves played Boston. And that was the Celtics game that sort of was the turning point for the entire season, when both teams were decimated with guys out because of COVID or contact and all that. And Nate and I had 20 points, and it was just a celebratory game at Target Center with a bunch of guys you've never heard of. That was the career high for Nate Knight. He was one off of that tonight.
Yeah, he was incredible. And I mean, we'll see. Like, Rudy Gobert, it sounds like he's getting close to playing. The Wolves don't play again until Monday night. Nas ended up only playing 15 minutes in this game because Knight was so good in the second half. So it's, I mean, why push Gobert? You know, we just talked about how tough the Rockets are, or how tough they played the Wolves, I should say. You don't want Houston to think like, hey, this is a team we've been up double digits on in the middle of the game both last two times. Let's get a win on Monday. But there's a, I mean, maybe you steal another rest day for Rudy Gobert and this kind of, I don't know, three-headed monster in some ways, I guess, of Naz Reid, Nate Knight, and Luka Garza. You can squeeze out another, you know, positive game from some combination of the three of them on Monday.
Yeah,
that would definitely go a long way if you could go steal another couple days for Gobert. We talked about the rebounding battle. We talked about points in the paint. The Wolves lost all of that, but they won the turnover battle. We finally saw them take care of the ball offensively and turn the Rockets over. You mentioned, Marnie, how sloppy the Rockets were with the ball. And some of it was, there was a lot of unforced errors that the Rockets are making. The Wolves did have active hands in this game, and you could see them kind of hunting steals as the game was starting to turn in the second half, which is a dangerous proposition against a lot of teams, not as much against the Rockets, but, the Wolves took care of the ball themselves offensively. They shot it okay. They made enough threes. A lot of that was Ant. Offensively, besides Anthony Edwards and Nate Knight, D'Angelo Russell was the only player that scored more than 7 points. The other three Wolves starters combined to score 10. Kyle Anderson was scoreless. Yep. This is a very weird. I mean, Ant scored 44 of the Wolves' 113 points, which is, I don't know, the quick math is that's way over a third of their points. It was only D'Lo who came on strong towards the end of the game and kind of helped put the Rockets away in Nate Knight. Otherwise, offensively, the Wolves were just kind of giving the ball to Ant and letting him go to work. And I think that helped suppress the turnovers in it and also everybody else's offense.
Yeah, it was a very strange game that way. And I think the Rockets maybe bring that out in a lot of teams too. They just it's not even herky jerky. There's a herky jerky to me has a lot of ups and downs, and this team does play hard, but they kind of take you out of your rhythm because they don't have a lot of rhythm. So I feel like the game never kind of has a flow to it because the Rockets don't have a flow. You might be able to establish one for your team on offense, but then there were some possessions where I feel like the Wolves had a shot, and then the Rockets turned it over before they could even barely make an entrance pass, and the Wolves had another shot in the third. And the Rockets haven't really even had an offensive possession to the Wolves' three. And there just isn't a lot of rhythm and flow to a game when you play the Houston Rockets. So somehow you have to find a way to overcome that. And whether that affected a game for Kyle Anderson or Jaden McDaniels or some of these other guys, I don't know. But I got to believe it contributed, because Kyle Anderson's been a really good offensive player the last, especially with the three games before this. And I think he was 0-for-7 tonight. There was nothing to it. But I gotta believe the way the Rockets play affects teams on the offensive end just because of the lack of rhythm.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And the Wolves are gonna have that again on Monday. So the third time the Wolves play Houston this year. And like we said, it's dangerous because of who the Wolves have lost to. You know, Detroit twice, the Spurs, among other teams. It's still a little bit scary now that they're on a little bit of a mini roll. And we talked about this the other day, but the schedule after the Houston game gets really tough because you go at New Orleans and then a homestand that's against Memphis, twice against Sacramento. The first time we'll see the Kings this year, and then Golden State, and then you get Orlando, and then two games against Denver, then Utah, Memphis. So it gets really, really tough. It makes it all that much more important to win this game against Houston. I think we said after the Denver loss Wednesday, hey, they've got to win the next three, and they're two thirds of the way there. And sitting here right now, as we're recording this after the game, it looks like the Suns are going to win. They're the only other team. I guess Sacramento's playing right now too, but sitting here right now, the Wolves are tied for sixth once again in the Western Conference with a 500 record, a game and a half behind Dallas. So, you know, obviously it's paramount that the Wolves are able to beat Houston on Monday night.
Yes, I can't stress it enough, because there were too many games that they gave away earlier this season that should have been wins. You just can't afford to have any more of these. And they did such a good job coming back against Toronto, getting that win on a really tough back-to-back. You can't give one back by not finishing off Houston on Monday night. There's just no other way to look at it. Wolves got to get it.
All right, we go live after each and every Wolves game about 45 minutes after the final horn, so be sure to tune in. Subscribe to the Locked On Sports Minnesota YouTube channel. That's where you'll find us live. You can also listen to the show after the fact on the Locked On Wolves, all the audio feeds, wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find our postcast, the recorded version, on the Locked On Wolves feed. A big thank you for watching, a big thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.